It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Challenge All Stars 3 Wrap Up Podcast for the premiere. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me is the great Ali Asher. Ali, how are you?
Brian, I am feeling rejuvenated, refreshed, relaxed, rested, and rehearsed because we did have a false start intro. But now we are back and we are ready to cover what you have widely announced and publicized as our 19th season of MTV coverage, not just Challenge, but MTV coverage.
19th season, and probably the longest gap of time we've ever had between seasons. We took more time off than Melinda's ankle, so we're in pretty good shape.
I'm panicked now because did I say 19 years? I definitely said 19 seasons, right?
I have no idea. Hopefully. Hopefully.
You know what's exciting about you making a big stink and falsely advertising the way the podcast got started over 19 seasons is that, like, we know what the 20th season is going to be. Like, our eyes are on the horizon. Like, you know, we're looking at the horizon and the 20th season of coverage is coming up in a few months. And yet we made a big deal out of 19. I love that.
And what's even better is, like, the 20th season for us is going to involve a total of zero people that have ever been on the Challenge before, which is just is so perfect.
Although I guess technically it's not. It's 20 seasons of us podcasting together, because that wouldn't be 20 seasons of MTV coverage, and it can't just be Challenge coverage because we're counting Are You the One?
And technically, so, not to get Kyle Picard on our case, but we did talk about the Pepsi drink commercial show. So that this could be 20.
Here's the thing. As I argued with Rob when that show got announced, that is not an independent season of television. That's a commercial. We covered a commercial.
Is it on their IMDb? Do you think it is?
I mean, commercials are on people's IMDbs, right?
Right.
Like, I did a Pepsi spot or something.
But if it says, like, each episode, like, who was even one person on that show? That
I could look Natalie Negrani.
Okay, let's see.
How many people? There were 8 cast members. I think I could name 6.
I don't think I can name any. I'm drawing
okay, a Natalie.
Oh, I can name
Kyra,
Eric.
Kira.
Eric. Eric from The Bachelor was on.
Okay,
right?
He's someone I would not have named. Another woman from The Bachelor whose name starts with an O, but I cannot access it. Anyeka. I can access it.
Wow, that's a big
ball. Anyeka, Kira, from Kira. This is what you tune in for, everyone. Kira from Love Island and X on the Beach this season. Let's not talk about that. Kylie, is that her name, from Are You the One, season 8? A guy who I want to say Vinny, but it's not Vinny, from The Circle. Joey.
Oh, Joey. Oh, my God. Joey, look at you.
Joey, that's 4. Natalie, I already said, from Big Brother, that's 5. Mm. I said I could name 6. Shit. Well, get back to me later. I don't want to waste too much time with this.
I'm looking up the full cast. I have the full cast. Let's see. Did you say Lauren? Lauren Speed?
Wait. No, she's the host. Okay,
just kidding.
Don't tell me any more cast members. Give me a hint. Give me, like, a show that somebody was from.
Oh,
I'm gonna remember.
One person's from.
I got it. Harry Jowsey. Six.
Yeah. And then did you say Millionaire Mitchell? Bag.
No, but you know what? I'm done. I got six.
So here's they something very funny.
Be done. No one said it. I said it couldn't be done, and I did it.
If you type Natalie into IMDb, the headline on her bio is self, comma, match me if you can, 2021.
Well, because that was her most recent credit, maybe.
I guess so, but that is that always like the person's most recent credit is like the headline?
I wish we could edit this and put it at the end of the show.
It says she is known for Match Me If You Can, Real World, and Entertainment Tonight. Not
I
even
didn't know
Big
Kyle Picard worked for IMDb.
It's just incredible.
We're not talking enough about how I just named six of the eight cast members from a Pepsi commercial. I can't even remember when freaking Kyle is on a season, but I can name six people from a Pepsi commercial.
Your memory might not go for puzzles, but it is good for remembering people on random Pepsi commercials back in the day.
While I appreciate the segue, Brian, I'm actually incredible at memory puzzles.
Right. Just for comparison, Harry Jowsey, however you say his name, his first thing is Jamie Lynn Spears and Chantel Jeffries' Follow Me from 2020.
Follow
not
me.
Everyone's first thing.
What does that even mean?
No idea. But that was the first thing on this thing.
All right. You know what? Come because you think we're going to talk about the Challenge All-Stars. Leave because we don't.
Well, look, there's like a chance someone in this show will be on Match If You Can season two. So we're just, you know, this is all the feeder system for that.
All right, everyone. If you're just joining us, we've been allowed to do 19 seasons of this shit.
Well, not yet. We haven't completed 19.
The no parents, no rules, baby. Rob, like, tuning in to be like, let me just check on my podcast. Like,
yeah, let's
first
see how
episode.
These guys are doing. Yeah.
Not well. I'll tell you that for free. Not well.
But All Stars, here we are. We're back. I'm very excited.
Brian, is it because you are excited? Like, you've been, I can say, normally, like, we take a break in a season and I haven't seen you or talked to you since the season. But, like, I've seen you quite a few times and I can tell you're pumped about this.
Yeah. All Star Season 2 just was such a pleasant viewing experience from start to finish. It was incredible. I love this cast as we went through with the Must Lose draft. A lot of good people here. The format got me even more hyped. Great format. It's just, I don't know. There's nothing that when this All Stars was first announced, like I've never been like a big fan of like the nostalgic things, like bringing things back from like the 90s and like trying to repurpose them. And they always stink. They're always such a disappointment. But, like, this is like one of the best things that's ever like been recaptured. And I guess it's not fully recaptured because obviously some of these people have been on the show pretty recently. But like the essence of it was like, oh, bring back the people from the glory days. And it's so far better than I could have ever hoped it would be.
I don't know if it's because this airs in the summer. Is it always in the summer? Was it last time it was the winter? I don't know if this is the summer, because this is the summer. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. But nothing feels more like a high school reunion or like a summer camp reunion or like you've been at school and now you're going to go back and see your friends you haven't seen in a year. Like, there's just such fun energy to this. And yeah, I it's the music. It's the people. It's the fact that even the drama isn't so, like, devastating, right? Like, I mean, you have real-life drama, like Mark's mom, and we'll talk about it. But, like, in terms of, like, fights that happen, it's still sort of good-natured and good sports. And even with Jordan and Wes, it's, like, jabs. It's not cheating on your boyfriend. It's and I'm here for that, too. But just, like, this is more...
You're here for cheating on your boyfriend. Wow. It's like, oh, boy.
Well... Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's I can appreciate the drama going on X on the Beach, right? But This is sort of like good old fashioned cotton candy reality TV, and I love it.
Yeah, there's something to be said for having people on a show that are just doing it not for really fame and just doing it because they like to compete, they like the people to be around. It's the do something they don't think they'll ever do again, and to try to win some money. And like that essence has been so stripped from the Challenge proper in recent years because it is so many new people, coming off one other reality show where they're really trying to like make this their business. What on earth is happening in the background?
Was that loud? I'm so thirsty. I was drinking from a water bottle.
Okay. I was very worried for a second.
Oh, should we scrap the whole thing?
No, this is perfect. It was perfect.
We had a debate about how long a water jug could stay.
Yes.
Jugged.
Mm-hmm. How long has this water bottle been in your fridge for?
It's not been in my fridge. I like it room temp. That's how I could drink it so quick. Okay, I wish we weren't doing this. I'm sorry. All right. What did you think of the scripted intros? I know I just cut you off.
The intros are, even the intros, like this was like not like, you know, the dual like tribal dancing that like that throwback, but it was different than even how the challenge proper does it. And it was done in a very lighthearted way, but also kind of setting the stage, like how they picked the groups. Like I liked that the past winners all got to come in together. I liked that Wes kind of got his big reintroduction coming officially over to All Stars. I like the different groupings, and they really kind of let each of them have a little bit of a moment.
I did too. I really liked that they came in some sort of configuration that made sense. They had the winners from All Stars come in together, Tina and Veronica. Like, again, we always say, if you're new to the show, the show will show you what you need to know. And I think it started with the entrances. But I also love that they showed Tyler noticing. It's like noticing you, noticing me. Like, I notice that people are coming in together, and let me think about why. That was a really fun clip to see.
Yeah, it's too bad that was like the only smart thing in anything he did for the entire episode he was on. But yeah, that was good by him. That was good.
What is wrong with me? I mean, literally, we could play the last 10 minutes of this back and really dig into that. But every time Tina describes herself, I feel seen. And I'm like, feel very disturbed by that.
So do you think, so would you describe yourself as bourbon? Is that the liquor of comparison for you? That there's bite, but you're nice?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, look, Brian, you've known me for 19 seasons. Like, yeah, I'm like difficult, like a little bit of a difficult mouthfeel, but
an acquired taste. Enjoy it better with age.
At the end of the day, I don't know about that. But at the end of the day, you know, like I'm nicer than you thought it would be. That's, I think, right, what she says. And I feel very seen. Not everybody who met me last week would feel that way, but I feel seen.
What did you make of Tina? Because obviously last season she quits. We think we'll never hear from her again on the show. She comes back. And I feel like it was a very positive Tina up until like the end of this episode too, but up until then, before she like kind of turned threatening, she was like very pleasant and like very un-Tina like.
Here's the thing. A lot of stuff was ignored this episode. Like, I was busting out of my chair when they announced Tina and they don't address that she quit until her elimination at the end of the first episode. And even then she's like, when I left, like shockingly quick, like, no, when you quit, like, let's address that you quit. And then we have the Naya and the Jordan. And it's like, I left in disgrace after making mistakes. Like, let's address, to the extent that it wouldn't be painful to the victims of your literal attacks. Like, so fair enough if they don't want to dredge it up for that reason. But like, I thought a lot of people got off for a lot of shit of varying degrees this episode.
So I was actually even surprised they addressed the Jordan and I stuff like at all. I thought they would have just been like, they're back and here's like a package of what they've done. But I was surprised they even had them address or apologize or like give like a PR statement of like, you know, I've come a long way. I'm a better person. Here I am. Like, I wasn't even surprised they gave that. So if they really were going to dive in further, I would have been super surprised. Because that's definitely not something they usually do on the show, like the proper, maybe like an after show type thing. But to even have them acknowledge it and like put it out there for a little, I'm sure a lot of people who watch these shows don't really know a lot of the stuff that may have happened. If you just watch the show, you don't really know or even maybe forgot Naya's past. So to even acknowledge it at the jump, I was a little surprised by.
I mean, they have to. Like, can you imagine? Like, I do think MTV or whoever the powers that be are more in the like position of like wanting to address that stuff than they've ever been. But like, can you imagine if they didn't?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of shows wouldn't honestly. Like the challenge, even like a year ago, probably would try not to.
No, but we're in a different, to almost complete credit of the players, alumni of reality TV and vocal viewers of reality TV, we're in a different world now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I'm not even saying it's a bad thing that they addressed it. I'm glad that they did. I was just surprised that they had them do it, but I am glad that they put it out there just so people, like, again, like people might not even know that this was a thing. So I'm glad they had them at least address it.
Speaking of something else we need to address, Jordan's hair. Like,
well, that's an every season thing. He comes in with fresh looks.
Nothing is fresh about that look. Nothing.
It's new. That's not great, but it's new.
Ugh. It's disgusting. Anyway, that's it. Mark walks in, speaking of looks, in an outfit that I know you're a fan of.
Oh, yes. The black on black. Big fan. Stole off my wedding picture. That's right.
Is that what you were going for? A Godfather look?
I think so. To be fair, I was going off the Nick Jonas look. That's how it was modeled for me. So that's how I found it. Or how Emily found it. But yes,
I was going to say, did Emily present you with a mood board, or did you
see it? Okay. No, I absolutely did not, but I loved it when she presented it. I was like, oh, this is great. Love black on black.
Now, did you have tags on the bottom of your shoes, too?
Thankfully, no. I clipped those off right before I walked down the aisle.
Wait, what was it again?
Closer.
That's my favorite fact in the world, is raising that. Even though it's like totally normal, it's just like I like bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk about Ronnie. Ronnie, is that right? Ronnie?
I think so.
I should know this.
Ronnie.
She drops a stat that I don't think we were aware of on the Must Lose draft, right? She's 2 wins out of 2 challenges, which we knew, but also has never seen an elimination.
And met Kobe. Who had Kobe showing up on a flashback of Challenge All-Stars?
I mean, all incredible information to learn.
Yeah, no, but no, I really had no idea about those stats. And we kind of said, I think you kind of said at the jump when Cynthia and Ronnie were the top 2 picks in Must Lose. Like, I get Cynthia, but Ronnie kind of seems like she can make a mark here. She seems pretty strong and athletic. And that kind of played through for these first couple episodes. She seems much stronger than, you know, a more unknown person coming in would think. And I think she... even from the intro package, made it look that way.
Well, that was really explained with the expression of takes one to know one. And when Cynthia said you cut her open and wine comes out, I was like, that's what I was picking up on. My sister, of course. But Sylvia, speaking of the Must Lose draft, you know, I felt validated, not because, I mean, Sylvia kicked ass, right? So I'm sure Matt feels good about that, and he should, and Sylvia should feel good about it. But what she says, she backs me up in her own intro by being like, people remember me as an underdog. And I was like, all right, I'm not deranged. I'm wrong, but I'm not insane.
Yep. And Kayla coming in with how I felt, she was like, yeah, I'm going to bring the drama, I, which is, you know, speak for people hate me, so I get in fights. So she brings the drama.
Well, let's talk about Kayla's voice for a second. Did you notice this? I feel like Kayla's voice is like 5 octaves higher than it ever was before.
Well, I think she hangs around with Sheena a lot, right? And Sheena gets the high octave, so kind of falls in line.
I wasn't sure if it was the British thing, if she's like picking up a little bit of softness from her husband, Sam Bird. Nick wrote in and asked us, does anyone, where is it? It's like that I have the same voice as Kayla. I mean...
You?
Not anymore. Is anyone else going to address that Allie and Kayla have the same voice? If we ever did, we certainly don't anymore, because I don't think I could even reach the octave that she's speaking at in her normal speaking voice now.
Yeah, I haven't picked up on that at all.
So, sorry, I was going to be like, speaking of not picked up on this, I think my audio is not recording, but it is. We're back.
Okay, thank you.
One thing that was interesting, because, you know, Cyrus is the only one who really gives us an update, right? Even Naya and Jordan are kind of cagey about their relationship. Cyrus just got engaged. I think Derek later says also he's planning a wedding. But these entrances, I feel like, used to be like, since you last saw me, like Kayla, I've been in the UK married to my husband who I met on X on the Beach, the challenge, wherever they met. Like, we didn't really get flashbacks to people's lives. We more got a very athletic focused, comp focused, challenge stat focused intro for almost everyone.
Yeah. And I mean, for Cyrus, like, I'm glad he's back. And I think that his welcome made sense, but like him welcoming him, his first scene on the show being like, I'm back, everyone. Like, I feel like that should be more dedicated for someone who A, wasn't just on it like pretty recently, and B, is more of a bigger star. Like, is anyone screaming, oh, Cyrus is back? Great. He's like, yeah, he's back. Congrats.
You know what's interesting about Cyrus, and this is sort of jumping to the first elimination, that it's Cyrus against Tyler, is like, I was thinking, like, if Tyler loses, which he did, I think it's sort of curtains for Tyler. I'd always be happy to see him back, but two very disappointing, relatively early eliminations with no real, like, change in strategy. Like, when he came in and said, like, I'm going to lay low and just be well-liked. It's like, all right, so Tyler's going to do nothing different than he did last season.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think it's curtains for him. Cyrus is just, it's like, he's one of the faces of the poster this season.
He's got 60% of it.
What are we talking about? There's like six people on it.
Well, he's like, he covers the most of the picture.
We might be looking at different pictures. Anyway, you're the math guy. I'll trust you on it. Like, he is just one of the most recognizable people from the franchise. Like, I think if we were to show people the cast, people would recognize him. Like, oh, yeah, I remember him from when I used to watch the show. Maybe I'm deranged. Like, I think Cyrus is one of the most recognizable people in the franchise's history.
Wow.
I think the name, he's got name recognition. He's got face recognition. People know who he is. So, like, I actually think if Cyrus went home, he would still be back on the next season.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't do like a whole lot his first season to come back again. So that I feel like that would hold, that theory would hold up.
But so like I don't know. So maybe I'm just too high on Cyrus in terms of his like stark. I feel like Cyrus is sort of like a Beth. Like, you recognize her face, you recognize the name.
Mm-hmm.
She'll come back as many times as she wants to come back.
You could be right.
Jordan and Naya, I mean, is it real? Have we talked about this? Like, are they just both in like a relationship to rehab their reputation? In that case, so, definitely Jordan gets more from Naya than Naya gets from Jordan.
So were they dating or are they friends? Because I thought they were friends, but then there was a picture of him like kissing her on the cheek. And I was like, wait, are they actually dating?
Oh, I always thought they were sort of together, like that we knew that.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I thought they were just like rebuilt like a friendship. I didn't know like they were a couple dating.
I mean, they're definitely not like this is my boyfriend, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're supposed to understand their relationship as being romantic. But now I sound like an 80-year-old woman.
No, again, you probably are right. But like they didn't like say that they're dating. Like he was just like, I'm so glad like we found the way back into each other's lives. I guess that's kind of implying you're dating. But I don't know. It was like they kind of like got to know each other, but they didn't like show very lovey in the house.
Well, he was like, let's buy this place, our vacation home. And Naya was like, you're going to get down on one knee, which I don't like Naya, but that was a hilarious joke.
Right.
For people who don't know, Jordan proposed. Oh, that was another big thing. Last time we saw Jordan, he proposed to Tori on the show. And yeah. That engagement's been called off, and Tori had to talk about it up and down. Not really, but she had to talk about
it. Not really.
How
at
is
all,
that
yeah.
not even? Well, she like addressed it. Like, she didn't mention Jordan by name, but I think she was like, last time I was here, I was engaged, like, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Like, how is that not even coming up?
It probably should have, of like, oh, yeah, last time you saw me, I was like, even if, like, I don't know, last time you saw me, I was down on one knee, and now that obviously did not go right. Just like something to acknowledge it. Yeah, probably should have.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Then they play Una Noche. And I have to tell you, I was bumping to it. Like, I was, like, forgetting to take notes because thank God nothing was happening at the party because I'm dancing now. Like, that song does not miss.
They should create a channel where they play music so you can really enjoy all the music that they play on these shows, and then maybe they could have other shows on that channel to bring people to it, but like they should really focus on the music. I don't know what they could call it, but like there is a lot of good music from these shows and they could put it on that channel.
Spotify playlist,
right?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna be calling
they're great. I mean, I made a joke about this on Twitter. I watched that like small 10-second clip of after last All-Stars leading into this one of like the throwback or like not throwback, the remix of now I'm blanking on the song, but the where TJ was like, you think I know what is coming, they have no idea what's coming next. Like MTV does so good with like remix songs of like the 90s. They're it's really one of the best parts of the All-Star series.
Okay, yeah, for those just joining us and who survived the first 10 minutes of the podcast, like, you're going to hit me with Ponder Replay. You're going to hit me with every high school soccer player's favorite 90% pleasure, 50% pain, 100% reason to remember the name. Like, just like hit after hit after hit after hit.
That sounded like Kayla.
And then they're giving us freaking come on, during the actual show?
Right.
Get out of here. This is chef's kiss. Like, do not change a thing. The music is 90% the reason to watch the show. And 100% reason to remember the podcast.
Fact.
Get out of here. Fact. He said that in a text with Jordan Kalish today. I said, like, get out of here.
is that out? Is that not cool to say fact anymore? Or should I say bet? Is bet the thing? I can't say bet. I feel like a loser saying that.
I thought it was like no cap.
Yeah, that sounds lame. I'm sorry.
It's just old people talking now.
Yeah, you can't say that.
No, well, what TikTok Nicole says, period. Period.
Yes, I like period. That's cool. I like that one.
You're about to ruin it. Yeah, we both just ruined it. All right, you mentioned Wes coming back. Let's talk about Wes on the treadmill here. I think, like, we're supposed to see a juxtaposition of everyone having fun, waking up, like, oh, my God, we're in bunk beds. And then, like, Wes is the lone pasty man working out, haunted by the ghosts of people who aren't even on the show. I don't understand why they're showing CT and Bananas here.
Yeah, that was a throwback. That was, like, the spoiler for last week's Survivor episode with, like, the random loved ones just starting to play. All of a sudden, I hear CT's voice. I'm like, did we miss him for the Must Lose draft? Is he out of season? What's going on? Yeah, it came out of nowhere.
So I want to ask you about Wes. You know, it's not really on brand for you to be tweeting like you were tweeting, like, I'm so happy to have Wes back, but whatever, we'll all let that go. Here's my concern. Brand.
You said that during the Must Lose also. I like Wes. I feel like,
go
what have
back
I been?
To the tape. It's just not the brand.
Because I'm too pro banana, so people lose track of my pro Westness.
I was amongst the audience, okay, this week at the Know It Alls live event. I was with the people. I'm like Akiva. I am to this podcast as Akiva is to Renap. I have my ear to the ground of the listeners. You're too tall to have your ear to the ground. And people were like, I'm so excited. You're so excited for Wes. I love Wes. Then they look at you and sneer and be like, bananas. And I was like, exactly. Perception is reality, Brian.
That definitely is a real thing that happened.
Definitely one person said that to me, 100%. Oh my God. We had a listener. I think Elizabeth came up while I was with Akiva and was like talking about the challenge. And then I was like, oh, you know, Akiva. And she was like, well, I don't listen to Renap, but I do know who you are. And I was like, this is the sweetest moment in my entire life.
But yes, Wes, what is your question about Wes?
So here's my question. Is this a man who is here to win? Or is this a man who came here intentionally, ready to go out early, knowing that he has a target or with a plan to get back to his business and is just orchestrating drama and giving high production value?
So I could see how it would come off like that for Wes, but like I do think this is Wes. Like this, as he said, like he does the same thing every season. If there were a batch of rookies he could pick up that had never been on the show before, despite everyone on the show being on the show before, he would try to find them. He would try to find the producers to pull into his alliance, because he just does the same thing every single season. And this is a similar type thing. He's always loud in the camera's face and making a scene and doing things for the show. So this is not too different than what he would be doing in any other season.
I was worried when he was doing the, like, I'm going to win first, I'm going to make everyone squirm. I was like, this is a man who's here for a good time, not for a long time. And to a certain extent, like, that's always what he does. To a certain extent, the target's going to be what the target's going to be. But I was like, did he like cut a deal to be here for like 2 weeks and he's going to really like give you 2 weeks and then he's going to go home? But then the way that he acted when he had power, I feel like if he were really just here for camera time only, calculated, he's throwing Jordan in here. So my fears were assuaged, but I was a little nervous at this little running performance.
Bet.
Period. All right. Let's get to the challenge. I do want to say, Sylvia, we talked about this in the Must Lose Draft. Confessional queen, so funny. Kind of in the Jemmy spot, at least in the first two episodes, where normally Jemmy was sort of the comedic relief in the confessionals. Jemmy had maybe one decent confessional this first episode.
Yeah, she had one, or even just one line, like during the challenge about like her memory that was pretty funny. But yeah, she wasn't too much of a focal point. It really was Sylvia doing a lot of it, which is a good spot for her. She's great at it.
I did think of you so TJ announced, at least we're getting this set up early on, that's going to be one man, one woman winning their share of $500,000. You know, famously, not half, not $250,000 each, their share. We've seen twists before in terms of the money breakdown, but probably half and half. They did, Naya's head did drop when they said everyone has made it to a final.
Right. Well, I guess he kind of updated. He's like qualified. So maybe she like technically qualified. Because he didn't say ran a final. He said qualified. So maybe she did technically qualify for the final.
So what did you think of the first challenge?
Yeah, so it was tunnel vision done in two heats. Man heat, woman heat. You have to look through, I think there were a couple holes in a wall to look through to see a puzzle on the other side of it and complete it. It was fine. I kind of wish you had to run further. I wish it was a little bit more of like an endurance thing. I mean, it seemed like you had to run like 100 feet back and forth, so it didn't seem like endurance was too much of a factor. So I do wish it was a little more like that. But for a first challenge, it was good to get everyone's kind of feet wet and start making confessionals.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it could have gotten more physical at the little tunnel than it did. There was an opportunity for physicality. I think endurance maybe mattered more. Or I thought endurance mattered more than you thought it did, but, you know, maybe not in a discernible way. I do take issue with people calling this a puzzle. Like, this isn't a puzzle. This is memory, but whatever. But I liked it. I also liked that it was, like, clear to see, like, boom, boom, boom. Who finished first, second, third, fourth, as opposed to the challenge we'll see in the next episode, which is two heats, times, take our word for it. You know, this was like, boom, payoff. We can see from first to 12th who came in what order, which is always fun in the first challenge.
Yeah. And memory stuff, even maybe not more so than puzzles, but as much as puzzles, you're being part of a final. Like there was at least one checkpoint that was specifically for memory, if not two, in last year's final. So this is like, you know, not like a mini final, but it is like a mini checkpoint of a final. So you can get the kind of sense of who might be surprisingly good or surprisingly bad at something like this.
So speaking of good and bad, no surprise at the top finishers. I feel like this is Wes. This is not something where it's like, oh, it favors Wes, but it's no surprise. This is really hitting a lot of Wes's strengths. He's very good at these sort of memory color things. Yep. I mean, he's good at most things. Wes, yes, and MJ in the top three, bottom three, Mark, Tyler, with Cyrus being the biggest loser for the men.
Yeah, nothing too surprising. It didn't seem like anyone was like so preposterously bad either. It didn't seem like there was such a huge time gap in this challenge. So not a lot. I mean, I guess anytime Jordan's not like in the top, I'm kind of surprised, honestly. But yeah, nothing really too shocking of the winners and the losers.
And then what about the women's side?
Yeah, I mean, for the women, I mean, I would just have to take their word for it, but apparently Sylvia's time was half the time that that Wes's was. So she absolutely smashed it. Kudos to her. I mean, she really shoved it in my face like multiple times. Like everything she did, she crushed.
Our face.
Right, both of us. But yeah, I mean, she did fantastic. Really, really great to see for her. And Kellyanne looking like another strong player here, doing with the memory stuff. Now, who was it? It was Kendall, Tina at the bottom with Cynthia.
Yeah, definitely surprised to see Kendall at the bottom. Again, this was a real day for Matt, a real coup. Veronica also in the top three, who mm-hmm. I was a little bit low on. What do you think? So this is a big twist in the format that the top three are going to form the authority, which actually I have to say, I like. We've had a lot of questionable names. Mm-hmm. I like the authority.
Yeah, it's better than the tribunal. I can't hear that word anymore. And it's like, it kind of sounds like a wrestling group. So I'm for it.
So they're going to pick who goes in against the nom. So we're getting rid of the house vote. We're getting rid of just the top two making the decision. We seem mm-hmm. to be getting rid of the lifesaver. What do you think of the format shakeup?
I like it because it's not like it's getting rid of the house vote, but it's still enough of a house vote. Like, I mean, there's only 24 people to start, so you're already starting with like, you know, a sixth of the house doing the house vote. So it's still a good grouping to like make the vote to go in. And obviously we've always been a big time in favor of if you lose, you're automatically in. That's just makes the eliminate the dailies at least have some stakes no matter what. So always pro that. I mean, I guess the other option is like, you know, the winners get to pick the people that come in, but then that kind of gets into like a lot of the same people in it a lot. So I do like it does add incentive to try to finish second or third to try to get in that top grouping. So I'm pro pretty much everything surrounding this setup.
I love it. I think they broke the lifesaver last season. I love this format. I think this is going to be the best part because we had issues with the All-Stars and their house votes. And we're already seeing some of it, right? We're seeing the top six be like, oh, we're going to pick the second to last person. Like, I think that's not going to last as long when it's six people as it would the house vote, because maybe you get the right mix of people and you only need four votes to be the majority in a group of six. So you're much more willing to break stride there. So I think this is going to be great. I'm really looking forward to seeing these meetings of the authority. I think it's already been quite interesting, even mm-hmm. though it's been sort of a non-interesting result in the first yeah. episode. So I'm here for it. I also, the one thing I'll say is we say this all the time. Would have loved them to know this was going to be the case before the challenge. I mean, I don't believe Yes when Yes is like, oh, I'm happy to be in second place because I didn't want the power. I really think Yes always wants to win. And that's what's great about Yes. Mm-hmm. I just wish people who maybe didn't want to be in first place because it doesn't behoove them to finish first, know that actually top three were going to get power.
Yeah, I guess so. Normally, it's not that big of a thing that I would take such a... Like, if they didn't say, like, if you lose, you automatically go in, I would take more offense to that here. It's just like, yeah, you're also in power. So I'm okay. Like, that of all the things, like, the format stuff that they hide from the people, I'm glad... This is looked very low on my angry list. I mean, this is also jumping ahead, but format style with the... Do you want to talk about the stars thing now? Because that's the other big format twist that we still don't know about. And I feel like the fact that we don't know it through two episodes makes me think we're not going to know it until the final. But I don't know. What do you think about the stars?
The stars is hard. So for anyone who's not watching, right? Like, everyone's got what starts with one star. And if you eliminate someone, you get their stars. So right now, at the end of two episodes, Tina's got 3 stars. So mm-hmm. someone takes Tina out next week, they get her 3 stars for a total of 4. And all we know is it's going to be some sort of advantage, power, whatever. I hate it. I hate not knowing. I mean, it's like I'm taking issue with, as you correctly said, the most minor infraction of not knowing the rules. I mean, what I like about it, if we knew what the stars meant, is like it's almost like the skulls and the limited number of skulls. It's like mm-hmm. winning eliminations puts a bounty on your head. But if you go up against that person, then there's a bounty on your head. And it's like, do you, what's the sweet spot between, do you want the most of whatever the advantage is, or do, and with that comes the biggest target. I think it maybe like in that way could work to prevent someone like Tina from going in every single week. If they were going to keep putting the same people in, it's like, well, I don't want their power to grow too strong. So I don't want them to be in every week. Like, I think that's interesting, but we have to know what we're working against. I don't understand why we can't know what the stars mean.
Yeah, it kind of feels a lot like how with Survivor, when they brought in the fire tokens, where all of a sudden everyone thought, oh, at the end, it's just all going to turn into idols. And then it just messes with the gameplay and doesn't let them make proper decisions. Like if each star represented, like, you know, they used to do a lot of things pretty similar to this, where it was like your bank account, where you win, you get, I don't know, 5,000 or 10,000 added to your bank account and it builds through the season and you can try to steal that from someone. If like that was what each star represented, great. That's fine. Let them at least know that going in. But if all of a sudden at the final, someone has like 7 stars or 6 stars and they, I don't know, get to like pick their partner for every step in the final or something like that, then it's like I want them to like know what they're dealing with and know should they be targeting Tina because she has a lot of stars, or is it not that big a deal, or would it matter more if someone else had the stars? I just let them have the information to make decisions so we can criticize them when they make bad decisions, but we can't criticize them for making bad decisions if no one knows what the decisions to make are.
Exactly. Is it something that you'd worth risking your game to go into an elimination for or not? We're on the same page about the stars. Cute aesthetically, though.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, at least it's not a skull. It still starts with an S, so we don't have to deal with that. But stars are interesting. I love that they're like, you may notice you have a star on your shirt. And they're like, oh, we do? Who even knew? I thought that was just part of the season logo.
Yeah, I mean, they played me. Speaking of aesthetic decisions, well, actually, before we get to the jungle theme party and all mm-hmm. the turning looks, one thing that like I clocked, that I'm sure a lot of fans of the show clocked, is like Mark says, if, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the authority wants to take a dirty shot and go for Jordan, but thinks that, yes, we'll want to really play fair. So he has a great read there. But then he says that playing fair and going for Jordan would be an old school West decision. Right. That's what he says. Mm-hmm. And I was jumping out of my chair. I'm like, how long has it been since Mark's seen the show? An old school West decision would be exactly what he did, which is don't rock the boat. Don't go too soon. Keep Jordan in the house. Make the political decision. Gather your ducks in a row and wait. And that is the old school West decision. What episodes has Mark been watching?
It's the only one that says All Stars. I mean, he hasn't been on that in a while. So he's like, oh, that's the proper show. I don't watch that. I don't know what's happening there. But it is so funny to watch. Like, I think he even said, like, I feel safe this week because my performance was so strong. It's like, I feel like that's why you should be worried that your performance is strong. But like the old school people like Mark and yes, like that will just never seep into their head that like them doing well but not winning will make them more of a target to go in, because it's just like, that old school nature just will never leave them. And that's, I mean, it never changed. Like it makes it fun to have that kind of contrast in thinking, but yeah, some of it doesn't always make sense. Before we go to the jungle party, we also forgot the other format change. The winners can sabotage anyone they want.
Yeah. I mean, did we forget it, or is it sort of doesn't matter?
It probably doesn't matter. I think they think it's cooler than it is. I think what they're going for, and I think what will eventually play out, is the sabotaging won't necessarily impact the daily that much, but it will impact relationships, which I'm all, that's a big positive in my mind.
See, that's what I don't like about it. And I agree that it will never matter. but or at least maybe it will be like one adding. There's no world they thought a 1 minute Sabba was going to really make a difference on this challenge. Right. Mm-hmm. So to me, the sabotage are clearly not designed to really impact the winner of the challenges, at least not the one that we saw. I just when we're the biggest criticism of the All-Star season is that the way for me is like the way that they're slow to get into the real game of it, right, in terms of the voting. So why give them something that gives them such an easy reason to say, well, you sabotage me, so now I'm voting for you. And presumably that will be because there are rivalries and maybe it'll be long-term game stuff. But just, I don't like giving someone an excuse to sort of squirrel their way out of their vote.
Sure. But at least it won't, it's not necessarily going to dictate the vote because there is six of them, so one person having the vendetta about it. Sabotage won't necessarily sway the vote, but it does get.
But it can. But it can. For,
and, but if, but it, like, if it can, then it's all, I'm all for it, because that means you're swaying at least two to three other people to kind of go your way, and then that's. Then
in
fine.
Early
then
days, in early days, if it's Sylvia, Veronica, and Kendall, who seem completely unwilling to make any sort of strategic move in their own right, at least in the first two episodes, like. Mm-hmm. And somebody's early days just giving them a reason like, well, I'm going to vote for this person. Like, that's enough. And in that case, to your point, well, then they didn't have the social game. Then that's yep. a wave in the house, like whatever. But I do think in these early votes, it seems like it's relatively a coin flip or who's willing to be the most vocal. And that's just like that's my one criticism of Sylvia the whole episode. Like, own your power, girl. When the Sabo gets played, she's like, can Wes go first? It's like, it took me three times of her trying to shirk her responsibilities as a powerful player mm-hmm. for me to write down in my notes a complaint about it. The first time, okay. The second time, it's like, yes, wants to come in and set the stage and be like, let's just admit that this sucks. Like, that. This is a freaking TV show. I want you to be Wes and come in and be like, I love this power, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for as good as Sylvia was in each of the dailies, she was that bad dealing with power and opportunity and everything with that, which is kind of like the opposite of what I thought Sylvia would be like in my head. I'm like, oh, she's going to be like the upside here is like a social player that could surprise in the daily, not a challenge beast that's going to be like an atrocious social player and not wanting to like make any type of decisions. So you know, full surprises that Sylvia is.
Maybe a little bit more understandable, maybe not. Let's hear what you think about it. Speaking of people not willing to make a decision, both people up for elimination, Cynthia and my brain broke, Cyrus, are unwilling to call people out and say who they want to go against.
Yeah, I like that because... Again, like I don't think, there's not really anyone like so much of a layup that like you want to go against anyway. I mean, I guess maybe for the guys, Tyler would have been it, but you don't want to give like the downside of winning is that, you know, you have to call someone out. You have to try to potentially make an enemy. So why like let them off the hook and being like, oh, well, that's who we wanted me to vote in or that's who she wanted me to vote in. So you should blame them. And then. You know, they win, they're safe, and they don't get off scot-free with the vote. So at least put the authority back on them to make some downside for winning the daily.
I mean, it's hard because I think it's like Tyler says. It's like, if your back's against the wall, you've got to make a pitch. And I think, like, in many ways, it does not behoove the person going into the elimination to show their cards. Because as we see with Tina, it could not be honored. I actually do like Tina's method, despite I don't like her delivery of it. But the idea of saying this is just don't give me these two people, you know, make your move for your game. And I'm willing to go against whoever you think. And I'm not going to be mad at you regardless. I don't want these two people.
That's interesting. I would say it's the opposite. I would say if you're going to do it, say like, I want these at least like one of these two people by saying you don't want. These two people, that gives them all the incentive to like, okay, then obviously they're together, so we'll definitely put them in against each other.
Well, let's like really break this down, because I think this is the most interesting thing we're going to talk about today, if I do say so myself. Maybe I'm just the most interested.
Wait, match me if you can wasn't the most compelling stuff.
I mean, never forget, I named six of the cat. If we did 45 minutes of me just thinking about it, maybe I could have got to seven.
Right.
But it's like... All right, let's really break down the pros and cons. If you tell someone who you want, I actually don't think that's such a bad idea, because if they give you the person, then one of you is going home, so who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And they're more likely to give you the person because you've given them the get out of jail free, so who cares? And if they don't give you who you want, can they, that person really be that mad that you're like, look, my back was against the wall, I thought it'd be a fair fight, I respect you. You know, like, are they really going to come for you for that reason? You've already have your neck on the chopping block because you've already been the elimination once. So I don't think you have much to lose by trying to control your own fate and say, if twist my arm, I want Jemmy, I think we're an equal size or whatever. Are you going to really, like, is somebody going to target you who you weren't working with before who wouldn't have targeted you anyway?
Yeah, it's tough. I think you, it also, I mean, this is kind of a cop out, but I do think it really depends on, like, who's the person asking, like, who's going in that's asking and who are you asking to? Like, I think if you're someone like who has built up a lot of social capital, like someone like, I mean, it didn't seem like it played out, but someone like Mark, I think he's someone who'd be like, yeah, I would like to go against this person. Can you make that happen? I think it's more likely for it to happen like that. But if you're someone like Tina, who has rubbed people the wrong way, who's coming off quitting, who people are waiting for the drop of the hat for you to kind of turn on them, for her to be like, if you give me these people, like, I will make your life hell, I will come back and get you, or whatever she said, like, that's going to turn people off. So you, like, you have to know who you are and who you're pitching to, and there's like a way to balance it. But I think all things equal, I would like power rank them, like, say nothing, say who you want, and then last would be say who you don't want.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course it matters who's asking you and who's, like, you're talking to. I just, like, if you're talking to the right person, giving one person or two people who you don't want gives them more room to play. Like, I, you know, I think regardless, the way Tina said it was the biggest problem. Not that she said who she didn't want, but how she said it and the threat that she made.
Yep.
I think I'm inclined to say, if your back's against the wall, Cynthia and Tyler, and not Tyler, Cyrus, maybe to your point, it doesn't matter because everybody in the house, as who said it, Letarian, is a horse. So, like, maybe it really doesn't matter who you go against. So it's not worth the risk anyway. But I think your back's against the rope. And if you feel more confident going against somebody, then you should call that person out, because that's your best case scenario, that you get who you want. And at least you went home against your best chance.
Do we like, I feel like they haven't done this in a while. Do we like that they're making the decision before going to the elimination? I know I've said, like, I kind of want them to do it, so it kind of opens up everyone, like, partying and stuff, but it seems like they just jumped to the elimination right after. So, like, it takes away of, like, the idea of, let's kind of see what it looks like and then make our vote based off that.
I'm glad that's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm not sure, because I always wished, I never liked when they had, like, the whole cast sitting on edge, because if, like, it took away from some of the levity. But if they just go straight from telling you who's in to the elimination, then it doesn't really matter anyway. And it usually doesn't play that much of a factor, but I do like the idea of sometimes, all right, let's see, is it a physical thing, is it a puzzle thing, like, what can we do to, like, get this person out that we're targeting, or should we not take the shot because it's this? I always, that extra layer is kind of fun sometimes, but I guess I'm fine with cutting that out.
I mean, I think it played a major role when people were having to throw themselves in, when that was part of the game. But I like, again, in terms of going back to old school, like, I like the idea. Like, to me, like, they talked about the puzzle being or not being the great equalizer. The great equalizer is you can't plan for what the elimination is going to be. And I'm not saying I never like that, and I never like that layer. But in All Stars, it's like, this is who lost, and this is who we're putting up against you. And it could be rock, paper, scissor. It could be hall brawl. It could be who can knit the fastest. Like, you have no freaking idea. And it's just going to be mano a mano in the arena. And I like that aspect of it.
And I know this will never happen, but, like, it so irks me when people are like, I can't believe I lost because of a stupid puzzle. The puzzle got me. This is so, like, the puzzle is as much part of this show as long distance running, as physical lifting, as heights, as maybe even more so. So, like, to complain that you lost to the puzzle, that just means you lost at the challenge. Like, Kellyanne be like, oh, I did so, I was the first one there and the puzzle got me. Like, yeah, that's because that's why you're, like, sort of a limited player, because the puzzle will get you. The puzzle's as much part of this as anything else. So get better at the puzzle. It's not going anywhere.
Puzzle's going to get you. Don't be sorry. There you go. Brian's stumping for puzzles.
Just very annoying. It's not like a carnival game. Like the carnival game, sure. Like, oh, I can't toss the ball into the slanted bucket.
The carnival game is as much as the challenge, as long distance running, and anything else.
There you go.
It used to all be carnival games.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's talk about Tyler's pitch, because Tyler is the only one that we saw make a pitch at the party.
His pitch sucked. Like, let's be honest. It was so bad. Keep me around because I'm fun. Like, what year are we in? Like, I'm sorry, Tyler. Also, it was so wrong in so many ways. A, he did this exact thing last season, and he said it himself. Like, it didn't matter whether I finished fourth or last. I was always the target to go in. That might tell you something. Two, these people, I think it's a different vibe when you're dealing with someone who's like 25 versus 45. Like, yeah, 25, you might want to party and have fun. But like these, like, I know they're like, they're not dead, but like they're older people. Like, they're not going to like look it around to like always have a raucous time and like party. Like, they're adults. Like, no one's looking for a fun time. That's two. And three, just make some other, again, this last season, do something else, anything else. Not just like, oh, I'm a good person. Like, yeah, keep me around. And then after it happens, like, I'm not going to be that mad at you, but I'm a little mad, but not that mad. Our friendship is fine. In the game, yeah, I'll be a little mad, but I'm not going to hold it against you. No, be pissed. Be like, yeah, I'm furious. I'm targeting you every time. Do something.
Oh, see, well, I agree the pitch was horrible. It was really embarrassing, and I'm a Tyler fan, but it made it hard to really root for him here. Like, this is like, if Rob was ever going to fire us, or like we were going to pitch another show, that would be my business. Like, but Rob, like, who do you want to turn looks with? He was like, I have no talent, but like, who do you want around? And he'd be like, still not you.
At least make the pitch like, oh, I'll vote for you. I'm a vote in your pocket. I'm like, I could sway people to vote your way. Not, I'm just going to turn up at the party. Come on.
The biggest issue for me with the pitch is when Veronica is not being receptive to his party boy pitch and is like, I just need, like, I think everyone's going to lose to Cyrus and Cynthia. So I need to put someone in who's going to be fine with that, or I need to find someone who's going to lose. And Tyler then makes a pitch against himself by saying, well, just think who's going to have your back if they come out.
Yeah, it was horrible. I've never been more proud of like picking someone to lose in a draft in my life. And I heard Tyler make his pitch one after another. I'm like, yeah, this dude is not winning. I don't know what happened to the guy from Rivals, who was like such an absolute beast and a force in those eliminations in the final. I don't know what happened to him, but I would love for him to come back. But this version of Tyler is not it.
But I think to his mistake was his reaction. And he was like, you know, to Kellyanne and MJ, like, I still love you as friends, but this is going to change how I play the game moving forward. Like, that's absolutely what you're not supposed to say. You're supposed to be like, look, I understand if I come out, like, bygones, bygones, like, let's not make this happen again, and then cut their throats. But, like, expressing your anger and saying, like, your gameplay together is over is insane.
Just so bad.
You have no power to be saying that. You're not going to win any challenges. You're talking to Kellyanne and MJ. Which, by the way, did you see MJ's tattoo or what?
Yes, I was on your side. I noticed the tattoo. Okay. I knew it was a horrible tattoo.
But let's talk about Wes, yes, and MJ and Sylvia, Kellyanne, and Veronica in the first ever authority.
So I was a little, I mean, I know this is typically what Wes would think would do, wouldn't want to make a big move. I guess sometimes he does with bananas there, but I was still kind of pleasantly surprised to see him wanting to like play it more low-key and not go big head hunting early. I was surprised, honestly, that MJ wanted to. I think that's a nice shift from, you know, sometimes you come off a win, you might be a little bit more complacent. So I'm kind of glad that he still has that killer instinct in him to want to go after Jordan. Yeah, I was a little surprised that Wes didn't want to like kind of push it a little bit.
Well, really? I feel like this is so classic challenge. You don't go after
maybe,
Jordan.
I mean, just,
what, Jordan's
going
to lose to Cyrus? It's like Jordan's going to lose to Cyrus? No way. Why would you take the shot when Cyrus is at the elimination? If like Mark somehow lost or Brad somehow lost, then maybe you think about it. But when you know that there's no chance Jordan's going to not come back and there's a huge chance he's going to win the next week, it's like only an idiot would consider putting him in. No offense to Daddy MJ.
Honestly, the idea of going at Cyrus, though, it's like you need to find something specific that Jordan's going to lose at. And if you find something where it's just like pure size based, like that is something he could, like, I don't know what that elimination would be, but like that is something where he can lose. Where if you go against someone more his size, but like worse at everything else, Jordan's going to smoke them. So you need to find someone that's so different from him that maybe you can get lucky and win.
There are better competitors who are bigger than Cyrus and Jordan. And are better at other things than Cyrus.
Yeah. It also is kind of the CT factor where it's like, you know what? We're not going to beat this guy in a final. Let's just throw him in every time. There's also that argument, too.
And that's fair. And maybe that's what MJ's in the position to throw that out, right? Because MJ's better position. To MJ, he's solid and locked and loaded with his alliance in his mind. And Jordan's not a part of that. So who cares? And if MJ throws him in and Wes is a part of the group that does it, when Jordan's in power, he's not going to be looking at MJ.
Yeah.
So maybe MJ is perfectly positioned to do that. But, you know, I'm surprised we didn't see a conversation on camera. And I don't know if we'll ever see it, of Wes saying to Jordan, and it probably wouldn't matter, like, hey, MJ threw your name out. And I said, no. That happened.
Mm-hmm. It did. Confirmed.
What do you think of the way? I mean, I think Yes and Jordan are going to get together and be the most dangerous couple in the game because they have the same philosophy. They're like almost unbeatable and they want to go against
Wes
the best.
And Yes?
No,
Wes
Yes and Jordan.
Oh, okay.
Like they both have the same I want to beat the best philosophy and I don't have respect for gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very frustrating to me.
They could, but I feel like Jordan's personality is going to see through, and that's just not someone that Wes is going to like want to be with. And I think Wes is not someone that Wes is going to want to side with, and it's going to steer them away. Because yes, in theory, they would work well together, but Jordan's much more abrasive, to put it lightly, than Yes is.
See, nothing bonds people more than a shared enemy. Yes. Hates Wes. No one has developed a quicker hatred for somebody on the show than Yes.
Yeah, real quick.
And they both have the I want to beat the mess mentality. I think Yes really only cares about challenge performance. He's going to be in awe of Jordan if he's not already. Mm-hmm. And Jordan's here on a redemption tour. I need to be on my best behavior. I have no friends. Who else has no friends? Yes. Like, I think they are going to connect and be a very dangerous duo as the game moves forward.
Yeah, like if Jordan is on his best behavior, then I can see it happening. But it's just tough to like keep his jerk self hidden for so long. So we'll see.
So Veronica here really, really, I think fails Tina.
Yeah, fails Tina. So she's very much of the line of I am not going to die on this sword, fall on the sword for her. I almost combined two things, but I cut myself off. I will not fall on the sword to protect her when it seems like the ball is going downhill. But I feel like she kind of gave up super quick. Like it was not that like so strong of like, oh, we're definitely voting in the second worst performers on each side. It was like kind of hinted at that, and Veronica was like, yeah, like that's good. I'm good with that. Let's go with that. And she didn't like push at all to like steer it anywhere else.
If I'm watching this and I'm Tina, I'm irate. And was this worth it for Veronica? Like, I really don't see why she didn't say we can't put in Tina.
I'm stunned that it was worth it because it didn't really matter. Like, Tina was fine. Like she was like willing to throw her own game away the following week to protect Veronica. So I couldn't believe how Veronica got off so scot-free here.
I mean, I think Tina says, at least to camera, you know, when I have to vote out Veronica or when I have to stick my neck out for Veronica, I won't, or whatever. And then she threw this first shot. She's giving me permission. She's opening the door in a low stakes situation where I'm going to beat Cynthia. So now she's screwed. And I don't think Tina saw herself as sticking her neck out or blowing up her game by saying, I don't want to go against Veronica. But yeah, at least what we saw, there's no fallout for Veronica. Although honestly, if like I'm very much like, if someone screws their friend over in my life, I'm like, well, I don't want to be their friend. Look what they just did to friend A. So like, if I'm in this room and all the women were like, don't you want to say something for Tina? Isn't Tina your number one? Don't you want to protect Tina? And she was like, no. And I'm like, well, I can't trust Veronica then, because look at what she's doing to Tina. That's how I would feel.
Yeah, she was trying to come off too much of like, oh, I don't really have a number one. But like, not having a number one, like you said, makes you even seem more shady. Like, it's okay to have someone who you trust more than like anyone. Like Kayla kind of did that so well, saying like, oh, I'm going to throw out, because everyone knows me and Sylvia are super tight, so I'm going to say I'm protecting her, because everyone knows that. Like, and that's fine. Everyone can have a number one. So like, not being honest about where you stand is, again, even more shady.
Well, wasn't that weird? And when we're combining both episodes, okay, we're already an hour in. Like, isn't it weird, though, for Kayla to then be the one and say, well, Wes, Nehemiah, and Melinda are going to look out for each other before any of us? And so are you and Sylvia.
It's kind of the brilliance. Like, it's like kind of like you're really hiding in plain sight. And also, these people aren't the smartest sometimes, so it's like they don't always put it together. So if you kind of say it and then also like misdirect, you know, you can get some people to fall in the trap.
I think she had the right audience and she was pitching the right people that those people already wanted to put in. I don't think it's so brilliant. I think actually that she really overplayed that power that she had. For what end? To what end? To get Melinda in the elimination? She was already injured. Like, yeah. I don't think that was worth showing her cards.
It was the classic, I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know what it means, but I'm just throwing it out there that they're all friends. I love that move. It's a great move.
All right. Well, it's going to be Tyler and it's going to be Tina. And I have to say, I really thought both Tyler and Tina were going to lose the way they were gassing them up so hard that they were both going to win.
Yeah, the edit kind of threw me off a couple different ways, even in the other episode, the second episode of the eliminations. I've kind of been, maybe I'm so gullible with my old age. I don't know. But like, the edit's really messing with me.
Do you think the crawl brawl is a good play on Hall Brawl? Is it a good iteration?
All right. Can you explain the digging part of it? Because they were digging. My thought process is like, you're digging in the same spot to get through. What is the incentive to dig?
Yes. Great question. Excellent question.
Why not just let the other person dig and then you go out the same hole that they just crawled through?
I think there's a world where the hole you dig on your side would be larger, and then we see you like them dragging on the cage to just like get through the other end. But even still, the way that you had to bring three sandbags and you had to be crawling, like, to me, even if you waited for that person to gas out by digging themselves out and had to dig for like two more seconds to get yourself through on the other end, yeah, makes absolutely no sense. We later see Darrell stop swinging. I don't know why 90% of the people didn't stop swinging. Like, it seemed to totally disincentivize trying. I agree with you completely.
Yeah. Like, you're crawling through, so there's obviously, you can't do anything much physical to stop the person when you're crawling. Like, you know, you can't like sit up, you can't get any type of leverage, like stuff. So you might as well have just had two separate crawl through areas and not even like just have two separate areas. You have each person digs in separate spots as like a maze or whatever. There's no point of having them cross through each other because there was nothing you could do to stop the person at all. So there's no it didn't add anything to like have them go through each other.
Agreed completely. I mean, the only thing I liked about it is that we could track like when someone was lapping someone else, but right, that's not really so great because then you're like, oh, this person is decidedly winning. Right. I agree. I also think like when you're doing it three times, like all the more reason that you'll have time to catch up if you let the other person dig the entire thing out.
Yeah, it should have just been one. Like, it should have just been like a best of three doing it one and like a power crawl, basically. Like kind of how Hall Brawl is. It's like just like a power thing, like a quick thing, not a long wrapping around endurance thing.
I never like any iteration of Hall Brawl. I don't like when it's like moving balls back and forth. I don't like when it's multiple pathways. Like, Hall Brawl is good. You don't need to crawl. Just if you want it to be Hall Brawl, do Hall Brawl. If you want to crawl, do something else.
A crawling elimination is fine. Just not this. This was
right.
This was
not this. So Tina wins. I like that Tina gave Cynthia respect. We didn't really see much of Cynthia. Do you think we're seeing Cynthia again?
I would say pretty unlikely. But you know, you never know, I guess. But I would say she's gonna be a hard spot to crack at the bottom of the likely to return spot when we start doing that.
I thought at 100% no, except that she had the quote of like, I'd think about coming back. Because like, why are we putting that in if she has no chance? Mm-hmm. But I think the editors don't have the power of bringing her back, so it really doesn't matter. But right. I would say 2% chance. Cyrus, though, you know, we heard all episode how Cyrus has slimmed down, and he seems to be in the best physical shape to be doing this versus mm-hmm. Tyler. Tyler definitely, I think, has certain eliminations that would, you know, he could beat Cyrus at, maybe, but this, I don't think, going into it, was one of them.
No, and yeah, Cyrus, I mean, it seemed like this was a blowout, decidedly. Yeah, Cyrus looked great. I would say it's more of just like, again, I don't know what happened to Tyler, unless Cyrus is really that great at this, which I don't think. But I would say, again, it's just another knock on Tyler, unfortunately.
So do you think Tyler, I already kind of said what I think about Tyler's return prospects, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would say he almost has less of a chance to return than Cynthia. But the fact that he returned once, I guess, makes him more likely to return again. But I would say, honestly, I would rather give Cynthia another crack than Tyler at this point.
Do you think Tina has redeemed herself in this elimination, like she says, claims to have done?
No, I mean, redeemed for quitting? No, I don't. It's tough to redeem from quitting just a season ago. So, I mean, it's not like I've been redeemed. Like, she didn't, like, murder anyone. But, you know.
She murdered my hopes and dreams.
Right, that's, I guess she did. So, there you go. But yeah, I don't know. She's fine.
Yeah, I don't think this goes redeems her, and I don't like that she's like, now I'm redeemed. Like, I'll tell you when you're redeemed, and you're surprise, right. It'll come in the next episode.
The appeal process is still in motion.
You know what's funny as we enter episode two? Is how Cyrus and I'm gonna say Tori and Tina both are like, well, now everyone's gonna leave me alone because I like made them so scared. I'm so mm-hmm. good at eliminations. Not really how that's gonna work, most likely.
Yeah, no, unlikely. This is totally off topic, but like going back to like way back when we were talking about like how they didn't like set things up from the intros. Were you surprised that we basically got no, like we kind of got hints at it, but like no talk of the King's Palace? Like a lot of them are back. Obviously, like we got talk of like the Austin Alliance, but Nehemiah and Melinda formed new bonds last season that could be added to that. And like they got no talk of it.
Yeah, that's interesting, because we do have Melinda saying like, oh, I'm worried about Wes putting a target on my back by being close with him. Well, like you were with the biggest targeted group last season. Like, I don't know why we're attributing it all to Wes. We do see them say like, oh, Cyrus, Letaria, Nehemiah, like these are people I don't want to go against. Right. Was it really Tech pounding the drum? I mean, he wrote the song. Is that what we're missing?
It's copyrighted, I guess. They can't put it on this one.
If we don't have Tech, we don't have King's Palace. I mean, yeah, it's interesting with Letarian going out early. I mean, that's really it, right? The King's Palace was, and Melinda. So really, all that's left of the original King's Palace, Darrell wasn't it, and Cyrus wasn't in it, even though we hear Letarian trying to protect them. Mm-hmm. It's just Nehemiah.
Yeah, I guess that's why they didn't bring it up, because it's like, well, even if they brought it up, it's like, it's not going to be a thing this season. So we're not even going to show it in the first two episodes.
What do you think about, I want to know, and I think it's too early to make a little chart, but it does kind of seem like Sylvia, Jemmy, Kayla, and Wes are working together when they're having this conversation about who to sabotage. Yeah. But do you think that's just a marriage of convenience between Wes and them because Sylvia and Wes both have the sabotages, or is there something more here?
Well, so definitely Sylvia and Kayla are obviously close. And am I making up that Kayla... Wasn't Kayla at Wes's like weird reality show thing last year. Wasn't she part of that?
Sure, maybe.
She might have been part of that world. I don't remember. There was like that weird like peak COVID show. I don't know whatever they were doing. Like they were doing something. I thought she was in that, but because otherwise I don't know what like Wes's strong kind of connection is. Because even like in the intro, Kayla was like, "Oh yeah, Wes is like a skeevy guy." I don't recall a scene.
We have a complicated relationship.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even recall a scene they've ever had between the two of them. I'm sure they have, but like nothing's like standing out to me. Wasn't Wes a part of the cheating?
Didn't he put like pictures on the bed or something? Was that not Wes?
That's probably that sounds about right.
Maybe
that sounds
right. Who did Kayla cheat with again?
Was it an Are You the One person?
I don't know.
I think it was.
No mention of Corey.
Is Wes and Kellyanne's relationship? Is that like is that totally like off the storyline? Process like that's just never over.
We did another one for over vibes.
Yeah, that's just like done so, right? There's no even discussions of that. That's a bummer.
I mean, who knows, right? We have a lot of season left to live. The one thing that I think is interesting, and maybe it's like, you know, maybe it's related to that. Oh, it was Stephen Bear. Gross.
Oh god. Okay.
Look, maybe that's why Wes comes in and says, like, you know, okay, you're thinking about Kellyanne and Kendall, but this group could stand to pick up another faction, and Kellyanne and Kendall are two people. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he's such a great strategic player. That's absolutely the correct read. And unfortunately, Sylvia doesn't listen, which sort of confuses me as far as whether or not they're working with Wes. But that's the right move to make. And maybe that's inspired by Kellyanne and Wes's relationship, or maybe it's not. It's just numbers, but.
Yeah, I mean, this is what Kellyanne and Kendall kind of were in season one, right? They were a strong duo, but they didn't really have much connection to like gain favor a lot of the time. So it is kind of carrying through. And like Sylvia, like, it was weird. Sylvia like was receptive, but didn't want to be receptive. She was like, it was like very wishy-washy of her, of like being in power but not wanting to kind of make the most of it or use it for her advantage. She was like wanted to give it away if she could almost. Yeah, it wasn't like the best of looks from her.
I think ultimately she likes that she can say, I'm going to put the losers in the bottom and I'm going to put the second place person with the sabotage. And like, look how fair I am.
Right.
But I think that was a mistake.
Yeah, because it's not good. Like that type of move is not going to be like returned to you if the situation warrants it, where someone could, just because Sylvia might not be second to last doesn't mean she's going to be spared. So you might as well do whatever is best for your game. I mean, she does end up sabotaging Kellyanne, which it probably is the right move. No,
I'm saying I think it's the wrong move.
You think it's the wrong move? Why would it be the wrong move?
I think it's the wrong move because I agree with Wes. I think that Kayla and Sylvia and Jemmy, if they pick up Kendall and Kellyanne, they're powerful women in the house. Mm. I think use it as leverage. It doesn't work as a sabotage, so use it as leverage. Approach them and say, I really want to work with you guys. I don't want to sabotage you. People are telling me to sabotage you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it. Let's work together. And then sabotage John A. Be like, John A, I love you, girl, but you're the winner. I got to use it on you. LOL. Right. Like, whatever.
That is how she would do it. So.
Make an excuse where nobody can put it back on you. Because Sylvia, you're a top performer, like you were saying before. Like, this could come back to you tenfold. So why not use it as leverage? And then not, and like, yeah, John A could say, I'm giving it back to you, girl. Fine. But only John A could use that. You're not creating a precedent, as Wes said, to give it to a top performer in the challenge.
Right. It's not, because even if you do or do not create a precedent, people are not going to stick. Like, this is like All-Star Season 1, people stuck to things that were done. Like, people are going to like shift and do whatever fits their specific narrative.
Yeah, of course. But look at the women, right? Like, these women are not connected to each other. Tina and really Veronica, not. They are okay, but then immediately they like undermine that. Kayla and Sylvia are the tightest two in the house. Kendall and Kellyanne are very tight, but like a lot of these people are going to use performance as a reason to do the sabo. I mean, we see next week Kendall is going to ask if you can use it on a man, which is amazing. But yeah. I do think that, like, yes, they're going to do what suits their narrative, but don't give them a reason that you don't have to give them.
Sure.
Say we're going to sabotage the only woman who's won this game. And then maybe everybody else will do that and they won't look at you.
It's not
that'll
a
suit
move.
Their narrative too.
Mm-hmm. But no one, like, again, no one looks at John A's, like, even though she's walking in with the winners, no one's looking at her like that. Amazingly, again, here we are. There were two episodes. She still doesn't have that target.
Did you think this challenge was going to be trivia?
Because they were be strapped above water.
Yeah, I thought when Jarell was like, you bring out your cranes, I'm going to play your game. Mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, trivia. Nope.
Yeah, I don't think they even did trivia last season. I think trivia might be dead. I don't know.
No, okay. they did trivia.
Okay. Maybe the challenge
when you say
proper,
last season, do you mean challenge proper?
I'm not sure what I meant.
I'm not sure what I meant is a classic.
I meant whichever one it's accurate for. That's the one I meant.
Classic me talking to men. I'm not sure what I meant. Okay, well, I guess it's a wash then.
Okay, so this is kind of a broken challenge. One that I don't think they fully tested properly because a lot of people, strapped in a makeshift chair above water, and you have to swing to like knock out a buoy and swim at the shore to solve a puzzle. But a lot of people could not reach the buoy, so they were kind of just swinging up there aimlessly. So I feel like it was too far away. I feel like there should have been. I don't like challenges where most people can't do it. So this kind of felt a little flat.
That's interesting. I mean, yeah, maybe it should have been adjusted for height and that like Victoria is closer than everybody else to the challenge. But presumably they tried it and like it wasn't that most people couldn't do it. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just to see like Wes like suck that much at something and to see like, I mean, I feel like with like two of the, if you like of the two women's seats, like half the group failed in each of them. If that many people are failing at something, I don't think it's because these group of people are bad at it. I think they're usually very good at stuff. I think it's just like a design flaw in the challenge.
Yeah, that's fair. Sorry, I'm just couldn't read my own notes and they're typed for you know what this means? Oh, so the sabotage is, we talked about Kellyanne. Wes sabotages Jordan. He does it in a fun, cheeky way. I mean, what did you think of him using it on Jordan?
It was a weird setup because like obviously like so we didn't know necessarily that these were two episodes back to back, but most people probably knew and they were watching both episodes back to back. And they start off episode one, like Jordan has to, like we talked about, apologize for his like bad behavior in the past. And then here he's like, I'm going to set up Jordan because he's like the hero. I was like, wait, what? Like, I know it was hero because of like his physical prowess, but it's still weird juxtaposition. Is that the right phrase there to use there? That in one episode you're setting him up as like this guy who needs to like really like redeem himself from his past. Now he's like the hero of the story. It's just a little weird. I found that odd.
Yeah, juxtaposition was right.
Not nice. I'm very impressed with myself. I know. I think I said it properly.
I think you killed it. Remember when TJ used to say you killed it? R.A.P.
Yeah, sad.
So Jordan wins his heat with the sabotage. Again, not even really worth talking about who finished when. I mean, maybe notable that Kellyanne ends up really, 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 really sucking. Mm-hmm. The sabotage wouldn't have mattered.
How about Jemmy? Like for Jemmy, like her strength should be puzzles, and this was like seemingly a pretty simple, like 6 or 7 piece puzzle, and she was like really, really doing poorly.
Yeah, the star got a best a lot of them, but I almost yada yadaing the results because like we don't even know, like we can't tell because we don't have everyone together. We have no idea how much time has passed. Like again, these challenges are a little frustrating. The two heats just don't do it for me ever.
Yeah, or yeah, the two like two separate male heats.
Yeah, just, two heats
yeah.
per gender.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Because I mean, each of the winners of the heats were in the authority, right? And then a couple, and then the other two people, I guess, were people that finished second. But most of it's just been guaranteed. It's like if you win your heat, you win, and then it's like, but then it's like then that's not fair because then it's like luck by your timing. But then just don't do the six heats or the four heats. Yeah, not great. The only thing that was standout worthy of this challenge was just an incredible backstory moment about Darrell's history with heights, about him freaking out so much at a roller coaster that they had to literally stop the ride midway through because he was like screaming so loudly and he got kicked off. Like, that's an amazing story.
Oh, I thought you meant Tina.
Oh, I had Tina.
That to me was Tina's redemption moment. That to me is like, you know what? Quit or no quit. Thank God Tina is here. Because what the hell even happened? I didn't know that you could fall out of the swing. I was outraged that she was DQ'd for it. That is a production error.
Yeah, it's a little scary too, because like, yeah, if that was like a production flaw, she's just like hanging upside down there. Like, I wonder if they coached her through like how to like strap herself so she could fall, but she could have fallen awkwardly. It was a little scary.
I really like did not know it was like, because it looks like when they knock the box over, they're getting dropped. It's not like they're free flowing in the swing and they can right. just come out of it. Right. That was at least my impression.
I think so.
I mean, I was like, I was laughing so hard. It was so outrageous. She handled it like an absolute champ. I was like, all right, you know what, Tina, get back over here. We're fine. Like, it was like, we're finally settled up after last season.
And so tell me, has the office style confessionals during challenges been a thing? Like, it just really stood out for me during this episode. Have they been doing this all?
Way more straight to direct to camera stuff.
They were great. I loved every one of them.
It felt very like spring break. Like, right. I see the camera. I'm going to just say something. I liked it. I thought the scripted Veronica and I always want to say Tori. What the hell? Tina coming into the house was like, I didn't love. But like these little scripted or not scripted or like, all right, I'm going to ask you to say something. 3, 2, 1, like straight to mm-hmm. camera. Like that I did have fun with.
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously like, certain dailies like you're not gonna be able to do these type of things, so I think this was kind of the perfect one where like three quarters of the cast at any moment was just standing on the sidelines watching, so it was able to play. So anytime they can do this, I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, I love Veronica being like, I'm afraid that's gonna be me up there, you know, right. Like I did like it. It's a fine line of what I would like and what I wouldn't like, but I liked this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the authority, the bottom two is going to be Letarian and Tina. Justice for Tina. I didn't think that should have been DQ. But yes, Kendall, Jordan, Jhonae, Brad, and Kayla. All going to the authority.
Yep, super quiet week for Brad. A little bit of the authority, but he's not a lot of scenes through two episodes.
Purple Brad, Purple Derek, a lot of purple.
Super Purple Derek. He's strong Purple Derek.
Strong Purple. All right. LT, just shout out to Letarian. Thinking about becoming a single dad. That's so sweet. We love that for him.
That's fun. We had a few people calling out what they wanted to do for the money. Who was it? Kellyanne wanted to start a animal rescue, but also buy an RV to travel with her dog. So I don't know how she's going to manage the animal rescue when she's traveling the country, but good on her. Nehemiah wanted to build financial knowledge for people in the country. You could be the first one to
knowledge.
You could be the first one to take the class. And yeah,
that's personal. We had a personal conversation before the podcast. You're throwing it in my face. Just like you tried to leverage a personal conversation we had 8 years ago, which was not the context of it. For anyone who thinks because they follow Brian's Twitter that I was a fan of his and reached out to him to be a part of this podcast has not listened to this podcast for 8 seasons.
Right. That's very true. That's very true.
I know you weren't trying to make it sound like that.
It was just very funny to like, it was kind of easy to find because honestly, what I originally was going to find was being like, you like the first time I said like I think we should like take this on Twitter DMs and like message. And then I scrolled up a little further and I saw that message. I'm like, oh, this is much funnier. I'm going to use this.
Was there a thing that's, well, I guess I could go back. I also have the same
messages. I was just like, you could text me at like, you want also.
And did I say no?
No, you just didn't answer.
I probably texted you, but I like the narrative where I was like, no.
Left me unread for 8 years.
What did you think of Tina's, we talked about this. We hated Tina's politicking. Never mind.
Yeah, no, not great. Not great. And good for Jhonae. I love that Jhonae had a little hype squad around here with Jimmy and Caleb. But, like, you don't let her talk to you like that. You, like, you know, you're a power. You stand up to her.
Here's the thing. Like, Jhonae approached Tina and said, who do you want? So the whole narrative of, like, you're a loser, like, Kayla, you're a loser and you don't get to tell us what you want. Like, yes, you do. That person doesn't have to listen. And, again, Tina's delivery was indefensible and yet here I am. Like, but she does get to respond to the question the way she seems fit. And so, again, like, I do think the reaction was more about the way she said it than what she said. But the way that Kayla went with it, I was like, that's kind of not the vibe.
You know, Kayla was super mean girl. Like, you can't sit with us. You know, let me go here. That was funny. But yeah, I mean, and even John A. starting the conversation, like, when you're in that position of power, have that conversation, because you don't know whether it's going to, where it's going to go. Either you can build a relationship with that person based off what they say, you gain information, or make them even more of a target. Like, John A. just is doing the right thing, at least, and then setting this stuff up and then using that information to the best of her game.
So let's talk about who the Authority chose to save, because this was maybe one of the more interesting parts of the episode, because it's sort of unclear where everybody stands. So Yes saves Jemmy,
right.
Shocking, and Derek. Yeah. Also shocking.
Yeah, I did not see either of those coming. Very surprising from her. I don't remember Yes and Jemmy having that close of a relationship from season one. Maybe Yes, after his win, got more in the Challenge Mania world, and he's gotten pretty close with Derek, and that's kind of built up that relationship. But then, I don't know. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, I'm Googling that. Yes was on Challenge Mania on June 1, 2021. But, like, yeah, I mean, Derek to me is someone who Yes would respect. He's got a reverence for the game. Like, he performs well. Like, he holds himself out to be this expert. I feel like that's a Yes thing. Mm-hmm. He's road rules. Yes is road rules. Like, that makes sense. I do remember Jemmy and Yes's relationship season one. And the reality is Yes doesn't really have that many connections. And he seems like somebody who wouldn't really be pre-gaming. So, like,
right.
Of course his connections seem not that strong, because they're not.
Mm-hmm. He's on a podcast with someone once, and they're best friends.
And yet, he gets to save two people, right. Because everybody else we see, John A. saves MJ, Jordan mm-hmm. saves Naya, Jan, Brad saves Wes. So let's talk about that. Very surprising for Brad to save Wes here.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to go through, like, the archives of, like, where they've stood in relationships, but I don't think Brad and Wes have been, like, super close. I mean, obviously there's a lot of history there, but I don't think there's been great history, unless they've maybe off the show now have, like, built a much stronger friendship, but I don't think they've ever been, like, that buddy buddy with each other, like, on the show.
I mean, what surprises me more about it is that he doesn't save Nehemiah. I think one of the things I've been waiting for is to see how the Brad and Nehemiah friendship has sort of come out after the last season, and to save Wes, maybe he just thought Wes was more at risk than Nehemiah, because Letarian had kind of said, I don't want to go against Nehemiah. Maybe he didn't think Nehemiah would have the votes here. He ends up being right in that Nehemiah doesn't get sent in.
Yeah.
But it was surprising.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because I'm sure he's staring at Jordan being in here and knowing that Wes put the sabotage on him, and knowing that, you know, Wes would be a likely target. So I do think Brad was probably like, oh, if this is actually legit, yeah, Wes is probably more at risk here than Nehemiah. So I'm gonna save him.
MJ's already saved. I mean, Brad doesn't say Darrell here. Maybe he also thinks there's no way that Darrell's gonna have the votes. Kendall hasn't made a save yet. Kendall and Darrell are close. So maybe he doesn't think Darrell needs it. Maybe that's more surprising almost than that mm-hmm. he doesn't save Darrell over Nehemiah.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Kayla says Sylvia, and Kendall says Kellyanne. So that leaves Mark, Cyrus, Nehemiah, and then Ronnie, Veronica, and Mel.
Yeah, and even when this was going down, obviously, I kind of loved how they do this. They kind of left this hanging. At first, I thought, like, I missed it in the episode when they were going back to the house to, like, tell everyone who it was. And it was revealed that it was Mark and Melinda, and to see Mark voted in, like, you must be able to count. You probably count on one hand the amount, like, not even one hand, one finger, I think, the amount of times Mark's been voted into elimination. It's stunning to see it happen so early.
It still shocks me. And what I don't get is later than Brad's like, well, wait, can I save Mark too? And Yes is like, no. Like, you can replace Nehemiah. But Yes got to save two people?
Yeah, well,
like, I didn't understand that at all. I was really... Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I was, like, frustrated by that, that it ended up being Mark. I was very, very surprised. I felt bad for Brad. I think that's another miscalculation, that Brad was like, wait, I didn't think there was a world Mark would be going in. And now it's like, well, Mark's going in.
Yeah, honestly, I would get on Brad for that, but I didn't think there was a world when even they were listing the people up for grabs. I'm like, oh, well, Mark's not really up for grabs. Like, you know, he's even I went in the Masseuse draft. I'm like, well, he's definitely, like, not going to see elimination. He'll be in the final because just for, like, I know it's, like, not out of respect, like, the guy's, like, the creator of the show. It is, like, very surprising to see him targeted this early. But, I mean, it seemed like Jordan was, like, the first one to kind of raise an eyebrow of being, like, actually, yeah, maybe we should vote in Mark, kind of for the reason that, like, you know, no one really go after him. Like, maybe we should.
And, you know, I'm very surprised, pleasantly surprised, that it's not Nehemiah here, because, you know, Kayla says sort of blanket, we shouldn't respect any of their wishes. Now, I think people have more respect for Letarian's wishes than Tina's, for the reasons we've already discussed. But, like, we were basically, you know, people were projecting in the Musaloos draft that Nehemiah was, like, on an island. But, like, clearly he's not, because he somehow managed to not get more votes than Mark to go into an elimination.
Yeah, that's amazing that's how it played out. But yeah, that's true.
And then same kind of thing when it comes to Ronnie, Veronica, and Mel. Like, how does this end up being Melinda and not Ronnie? And this is frustrating to me, because they paint the picture like Mel gets the votes because Kayla said that Wes and Nehemiah are, like, all connected. But Nehemiah doesn't get the votes. Why is Melinda taking the fall?
So this is obviously tinfoil hatty, and, you know, based off how it played out. But is there any chance that, like, it was known that Melinda was just, like, not taking it out? And some of this, at least on the women's side, was for show. And it was like, well, Melinda's going to go home. Let's just let her go home.
Why, if you're, like, yes, there's a world. Maybe Melinda asked to be put in. Maybe producers were like, you got to vote Melinda. She's going to go. Like, I don't know. But if you are in the authority, why on earth would you want Melinda to go out now and not against you later?
Yeah, it doesn't make that much logical sense, but sometimes, like, these things don't. And it's honestly, I wouldn't think that, other than that's how it just played out with her pseudo quitting. But that's the only my only thought process.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not impossible. We've seen stranger things. All right, let's get to the arena. You know, they say it's going to be two rematches. I'm laughing to myself, Miss Jokes over here. Well, it's really just a match between Kendall and Tina, because they famously last season did not compete. That's when Tina did her quit and just let Melinda finish. But nope, it's not even one match. Right. It's not one match. It's not a rematch. Melinda cannot walk, is going to leave. She rushed into the season. Now, one of the things I think, it's like, we see MJ in, like, a knee brace. We see Melinda talking about her ankle injury. Like, I'm glad we're getting this season now, but part of me does wish that the people had enough, there was enough time between filming for people to recover between season one and season two, or season two and season three.
Yeah, I mean, it really must have been just, like, a couple months or something like that. The turnaround time is crazy fast that they would do this. Especially, again, like, I mean, not that they're old, but, like, it is, like, the older crop of people to do this. So you would think they would need a little bit more recovery time, especially after such a brutal final. It's crazy that they would do it so quickly after season two.
And we didn't talk about this, but, like, Tyler does an injury report of, like, he went up. It's like, he, in his elimination when he left, was like, multiple broken ribs, his diaphragm moved. No.
That's what he said.
I think
it was a joke.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it wasn't, though.
I don't know. But yeah, that's what he said. Definitely some broken ribs.
Seemed to have, and that doesn't heal very quickly, so. What did you think of TJ's little practical joke that now Tina gets to choose her opponent? Did you buy it?
Hook, line, and sinker.
Same.
Hook, lie. I put it in my notes. Wow, Tina gets to choose her opponent. So I'm stunned. And then, oh, I'm an idiot.
I don't like this.
I was, because, like, I mean, it would make no sense to do it, because then you would have uneven men and women. So, like, would throw off the balance of, like, the next few episodes. But sometimes the challenge does weird things like that. But it had me completely fooled. I thought maybe they would do it and, like, they would just find a new guy to come in to, like, even it out. Or, I guess, no, a new woman to come in and even it out. But yeah, I was stunned that, not stunned, but it just got me.
Well, then he also said it could be anyone, which makes it seem like now she could pick from the people who should have been safe. I was like, this is horrible.
Even in the back of my head, I'm like, no, well, obviously the authority is safe. He meant anyone except for the authority. I'm like playing out this fake ruse in my head. Well, no, it's not obviously not those people.
But all right, let's talk about this elimination. Like, I really liked it. It's like a very classic Who Wants It More elimination. And frankly, I would have loved to see a healthy Melinda and Tina battle this one out.
Yeah, it's a very cool one. It's very reminiscent of, I think it was the Duel 2. This was one of the eliminations on the back. This is like the one where CT like DQ'd himself by getting off the poll too early. But it was very reminiscent of that. I was very excited when the Letarian battle here. Like this was a very, it seemed like it was gonna be a great elimination. And even when they quickly show like the timestamp of like just 7 minutes, I'm like, oh, they're gonna be at this. It honestly was not as long as I thought. I thought it was gonna be like a 2 hour thing. The way they were already timestamping 7 minutes in. But
what
it was
the total time?
It wasn't even that much long. It was they showed like a 20 minute one, and then it ended soon after that. But I like if they were timestamping 7 minutes, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be like a two or three hour. Fair. But a very interesting very close battle between Mark and Letarian, and then a very cool to see John A coming up with like a strategy knowing that Letarian was like screwed, didn't really have a chance. Was like, oh, why don't you try like running around the back, which seemed like a brilliant move. And I think he almost had it. Mark just happened to get the momentum a little bit extra to like push the button, but it was pretty close. It was definitely worth the shot.
Yeah, it's tough because you're going to run around, but you're still going to be met with Mark's resistance. So, like, the fact that you can't get right back into your hold position, it's going to give him, like, a minute. Mm-hmm. But at that point, I think what everyone saw is, like, Letarian was never going to win, so it was worth a Hail Mary. I also wonder, like, did Mark hear that plan? Because that makes it a lot easier for him to prepare for it.
Yeah. So I think now going into any elimination, you need to have like signs, like you're a third base coach. Like, all right, this means like run around the back. This means do this, like in the code words to say what you want to help the person out.
But look, it was an incredible battle for both men. And, you know, we had seen a really touching FaceTime conversation with Mark's mom, who's been battling stage 4 cancer. I actually spoiled that the elimination was going to be Mark and Letarian while watching, because I quickly was Googling to try to see the status of Mark's mom and her Instagram, his Instagram and everything. Like, that really touched me. I love that Mark was able to get the win here in that situation. And both of them performed incredibly, really great to watch. I want to know from you, what do you think about what LT said, that no one else could have beaten Mark in that, and nobody else besides Mark could have beaten Letarian? Do you think that that's true?
I don't think it's true, but it's not like that outlandish of a statement, because I do think these are two of like the biggest guys in this house. I guess maybe you would put like Brad or maybe a Nehemiah in this spot, but I think they both have more height than both of them. I think Brad and Nehemiah are both shorter than you might think.
MJ's
think Mark,
pretty big.
MJ, yeah, probably MJ would be like the closest one, but it's not like too outlandish of a statement that like it's grotesquely wrong.
Obviously, any given Sunday, obviously we don't know, but I think it's true. Like, I really don't think anybody in the house wanted this win more than Mark. Especially with the like ego hit of like your friends voting you in, you're the godfather, you're getting voted in week 2, you cannot go home, and your mom and everything. Like, Mark to me was built for this elimination, will and strength and body, body, mind and soul. And we've seen Letarian do incredible shit in eliminations.
Yeah.
And I of course anybody could beat anybody, but I really think it would have been very difficult for anybody else to beat Letarian besides Mark.
It's great to see Mark do eliminations, because we don't really see it happen too often. You know, he's obviously done well in like the dailies that he's done, but like, you know, you see him in like great physical condition, but obviously that doesn't always translate to like doing well in some of these competitions. But like, to see him like put his full force and to do so well, like, it is still amazing to see from him.
It definitely took us into next week, I think, on a high note.
Yeah, I agree. Strong two episodes. Not like otherworldly, but it's just a pleasant viewing experience. That it's, you know, it's so matter of fact. It's like it's amazing for like All-Stars 1. I don't think eliminated anyone until like the end of episode 2. Here we've already lost 4 people. Like, it's just boom, boom, boom. Like, they got the structure, daily, like domination, elimination, knock out a guy and a girl, keep it moving. Like, this is just like, it's amazing. Just doing the simple things really just makes a show like this so much more of a better viewing experience.
We love it. We're pumped. We're ready to come back next week. I'm excited.
Yeah. Episode 3 next week. So no games this week, right? Nothing to keep track of. I mean, we don't have the points, but like just like for the muscles, just like the people who lost. So like Scally lost, Cynthia and Letarian. Matt lost Melinda, and I lost Tyler. So they're ahead.
And I have the best team in the game, baby. Yeah.
So I just a gut call. They are winning through 2 weeks. But, you know, long way to go. Almost lost Mark Day. That would be incredible if I lost my last round pick in the first
day. All right, we're good. Now we're in 40 minutes into this.
I'll wrap it up. You can, follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian with an I underscore, and new girl guy coming out this week.
I took a mental health hiatus this week. Not a key assault, my fault. But hopefully we'll be back next week. If you're interested, you could catch up on listening to me and Akiva talk about New Girl with an old guy at anchor.fm/newgirloldguy. And we put it out when we feel like it, okay?
And you can
follow me at Last Tweets.
I don't think this website works anymore, but robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. I don't think that
doesn't work.
Doesn't it? Isn't there? Don't we have a new link? I think we have a new link.
Yeah, but I told Rob I like having the challenge iTunes. It's so funny and outdated.
Yeah.
It takes you right to Apple Podcasts, right, where fantastic. We have 1,000 ratings. But get us started, people. Get us started on the right note. You know,
what are we at? What's our number right now? And then we'll wrap.
It doesn't tell me. I have it open on the website. Hold on. I'll pull it up. I'm never far from iTunes reviews. Here I am.
I just want to set a goal.
Yeah, we have. It says 1K. I feel like it's not going to update us enough.
Sorry, so we want 2K. No.
just give us a nice just give us some reviews.
Yeah, some boost. It's a new season. Help us out. Push some us boost. Up the top of the top sorry, of the rankings.
You said some booze, which would also be fine.
That's it. That's it for this one. We'll be back episode 3 next week. Till then, have a good one.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.